Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And for this week, I think we obviously need to focus on the Government of National Unity and in particular the cabinet announcement that was made by the president last night. I don't want to go through every cabinet appointment, but it might be useful to just have a look at the cabinet in terms of whether it's fit for purpose and one or two of the key appointments. The second topic is just a quick update on inflation data out of the US and South Africa last week, and I think overall it keeps us on track to expect an interest rate cut both from the Federal Reserve and the South African Reserve Bank during the month of September. So hopefully we can put that in a bit of context. The president announced the composition of South Africa's cabinet last night, and I think there are a couple of points to highlight. The first is obviously the expansion in the number of cabinet ministers and deputy ministers is very unfortunate. The reason is that at some point the president acknowledged that the cabinet was too big and he simply increased that further. The second is that we simply can't afford the government we've created, and by adding additional departments and cabinet posts, we add into that layer of costs. Now, some of the government departments, they've split the function between two separate entities. And as a consequence, it's not just about a cabinet appointment or a deputy cabinet appointment. You're going to have to staff up that department with its own set of individuals, which will add a significant layer of cost. The other area to perhaps highlight is there's a lot of new people in the cabinet, people that perhaps we're not that familiar with, and we're not really sure about their background and what sort of contribution they can add. And so over the coming months, we're going to have to gauge their ability to adjust to this type of environment and whether they are able to add a significant amount to South Africa's management. In terms of the economic cluster, there is at least a continuity of some of the key individuals, particularly the Minister of Finance remains unchanged. And while they have bolstered the National Treasury with an additional deputy cabinet member, I don't think much is going to change in terms of fiscal policy, and that's a good thing. I think we can rely on where fiscal policy is likely to go. I think the fact that we're looking to boost the area of public works, which hasn't been functioning all that well, I think that has to be welcome. And I'm encouraged that Dean McPherson will make a difference to that department. But clearly, he's going to need the support of the senior people within that department. And so it's, again, a key area we need to monitor. They've moved Parks Tau into being Minister of Trade and Industry. Ebrahim Patel has exited the government. And clearly, Parks Tau has a lot of work to do to catch up. He has had a role within the Johannesburg Metro in terms of some of the economic clusters there. He's obviously been at a senior level within the city of Johannesburg, but I think this is at a different level, and so we'll have to gauge his ability to implement sound policy that links into some of the reform initiatives that government has already embarked on. Barbara Creasy as Minister of Transport, I think, is heartening. It's not to say that she has a huge affinity with the transport sector, but whatever role she's been in previously, she's been able to add a significant amount of value, and so we would be encouraged by that appointment. The other thing worth highlighting is that there's no longer a Department of Public Enterprises. Pravin Gordhan has exited government, and so what the president has done is moved effectively that department into the office of the presidency, which effectively means that he's brought the key state-owned enterprises closer to his function, which I think is there to allow for more of the economic reform that the government has already embarked upon. And I think for the moment that is encouraging. It sets up the possibility for the current reform process to engage more fully with Transnet, with Eskom, and with other SOEs. And then at some point, presumably, what remains of those particular entities will be moved to fit into each department where they would naturally fit in. So, for example, Transnet at some point presumably would move into the transport sector. Equally, Eskom would move into the industry to do with energy and electricity. Dr. Ramakgopa, as the Minister of Electricity, has been given the energy cluster as part of his authority, and I think that's good news. He's done an excellent job. in trying to improve electricity production in South Africa. And so I think adding energy to it makes a lot of sense, and that improves his ability to get a more coordinated approach to solving South Africa's longer term energy constraints. So when I look at this, I think overall it's not a bad mix. It's for the moment acceptable, I think, within a government of national unity. The test is obviously going to be whether these individuals can work together, whether the government of national unity can hold, and whether over the coming months there isn't a widening of views between the various cabinet positions that ultimately end up with a breakdown of the cabinet. We hope that doesn't happen, because clearly a government of national unity could have the potential to lift South Africa's growth meaningfully. But if a government finds themselves having to renegotiate with other political parties or renegotiate the existing agreement in terms of the government of national unity, that would be very disruptive, both in terms of the functioning of individual government departments, but also in terms of investor confidence regarding South Africa. So for the moment, I think markets are pleased that at least a deal has been done, that it has at least gone through, and that there is, from the face of it, a commitment by these effectively 11 political parties to work together for the good of South Africa. I think the markets would also be heightened that there wasn't an inclusion of any of the EFF or MK support within this cabinet, because obviously that would suggest that government still has a strong leaning towards left-wing politics. This cabinet, as it sits, you would say, is more of a centrist approach, but clearly along the way there will be differences of opinion regarding the policy framework that government needs to adhere to, and those differences of opinion is where the ultimate risk lies. So I guess at this stage I'm cautiously optimistic. I hope this holds beyond merely a couple of months. And the longer this stays together, the more these individuals will learn how to work with one another and perhaps, just perhaps, start to implement policy much more effectively and lift South Africa's growth in a meaningful way. Lastly, while it's understandable that there's a significant focus on politics and the cabinet at the moment, including actually the election in France, I think it's worthwhile to highlight two economic numbers that were revealed last week. The first is South Africa's PPI inflation for the month of May came in at 4.6%. That was actually significantly below market expectations. And if I break down that number, I would say the detail was very encouraging. Many of the components went sideways or even declined. And the only area where we saw a little bit of pressure was in manufactured food inflation. Overall, we've seen agricultural food prices move up a bit in recent months. That seems to be pushing on into manufacturing food inflation, and clearly that does heighten our concern about whether we'll see a resurgence in consumer food inflation. For the moment, I don't think that's the case. Food inflation overall remains reasonably under control. So my takeaway of PPI inflation is that it's overall encouraging at 4.6%. It does fit in with the midpoint of the inflation target. And I think it's one of the factors that will help the Reserve Bank to consider cutting interest rates during the month of September and then continuing on those cuts for the rest of the year and into next year. The other key data point to highlight was in the US, their core PCE inflation number. It came out on Friday last week, and that fell off to 2.6%, also exactly in line with expectations. At 2.6%, that is getting close to the Federal Reserve's inflation target of 2%. And if I break down that number, some of the detail there is also encouraging. We've got goods inflation at minus 0.3%, effectively in deflation, which tells us that most of the pressure remains in the services component of the US economy, particularly the housing component. That number sits up at 3.9% for services inflation, but it has been steadily moving lower, and there remains a high degree of confidence that shelter inflation will moderate further over the coming months. And so I think that 2.6% for the US in terms of their core PC inflation also puts the Federal Reserve on track to consider cutting interest rates in September. The net result is that we're looking at the start of at least our interest rate cuts, the US interest rate cuts, and if I consider that in total 38 central banks around the world have already commenced their own interest rate cutting cycle, that would suggest that the world economy is systematically moving into an environment of reduced interest rates, which clearly will take time to move lower, but at some point will represent the start of the next business economic upswing, which hopefully starts to manifest during the course of next year and into the year after that. So I thought that those two numbers were particularly encouraging, and obviously we'll keep revisiting the issue of inflation over the coming weeks until we get closer to the point where we think the interest rate cuts are about to happen. It's not the most exciting topic around, but it's absolutely critical in terms of interest rates and what financial markets are expecting. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers.